Oh no! Our table! It's broken! Whoa. There we go.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Ooh, boy howdy. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. This is news to me. I'm DJ Marcus, and it's October 4th, 2021, and that means that... Uh-oh.
That's correct.
Oh, wrong one.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Ooh, Mondays. Jeepers creepers. Well, my comm continues to vex me. I tried logging in this weekend and letting it run. I've tried connecting from several different members of the cluster, but no luck. I'm going to try again here. Test. Hey! It may be working today. Not 100% sure, but it looks like it. So, huzzah! At least that's going all right today. Hey, M. Stoney! Perfect. Thank you so much. Okay, we're just taking deep breaths. Alright, here we go. Quit trying to hit me and hit me. Alright, let's go ahead and get started because I'm late and we got all sorts of news, but I want to be sure and give you the heads up. The stuff that's big news, we're not going to talk about because it would take like the whole show. Maybe we'll do like a special or something. But the two huge stories that I don't think we've got much on or just a little bit on would be the Facebook whistleblowing last night, and the, what are they calling them? The Pandora Papers, or Panama Report Part 2, whatever you want to call it. We've got much, much more important stuff to talk about.
That's correct.
All right. Are you ready to hear it? All right. We're going to get started the way we almost always start.
World News.
That's right, with the World News. First up, best Paris baguette. This is very serious business. Very important. Oh, welcome, welcome, Incom. I see you guys now. Dirty Rig, W. Visser, Tobe, and Pimple. Hello, hello. Welcome. So this is very serious business. Best Paris baguette winner bakes up controversy over alleged extremist posts. So the Tunisian-born baker, who won the coveted annual award for the best baguette in Paris last week, is at the center of a fermenting controversy after claims he shared extremist posts on social media. Macre McCrout, whose achievement in beating off 173 rivals for the award was hailed as an immigrant success story in France, but did not take part in a ceremony at the weekend to receive his prize. By tradition, the winner of the prestigious award is given a contract to supply the presidential palace with baguettes for a year. Screen grabs published by an anonymous Twitter user claim to show that Akraut had shared on a now-deleted Facebook account posts expressing Islamist ideas. Akraut understood that it was not necessarily ideal to come and receive the prize, the first deputy mayor of Paris, Emmanuel Gregory, told AFP during the ceremony Saturday on the Esplanade. I don't know how you'd say that properly. Esplanade Esplanade of Notre Dame Cathedral. Mayor Anne Hidalgo, a socialist who is running for president, had been scheduled to present the award, but had a personal constraint and could not attend. A Kraut was instead represented by his flower supplier, who evoked a staffing problem to explain the baker's absence. The controversy has erupted, as immigration is expected to be a major theme in France's 2022 presidential elections, where far-right leader Marine Le Pen is still seen as the top challenger to Emmanuel Macron. So, whew, very wild. Oh yeah, cool. Alright, so that's going on. So yeah, the baguette winner may, he had the best bread, at least. Maybe not the best takes. He placed at OPPD today. Hell, I don't know what that means. More than 5,000 migrants detained in Libya, according to NGO. The Norwegian Refugee Council claims thousands of migrants have been detained in Libya. The NGO says its fierce crackdown launched so far... Oh, come on. I don't like this translation. This is the largest crackdown on migrants in Libya that we've seen in recent years. This isn't the first time there have been large numbers of arrests. We've seen this happen in a bit smaller scale over the last few weeks and months, and over the course of last year, there were upwards of 5,000 migrants and refugees in Libyan detention centers at a time. So this is not a new practice, but certainly, these are the biggest numbers that we've seen in a single 24 or 36-hour period, said Alexandra Sy, Libya advocacy manager for the Norwegian Refugee Council. According to the UN, operations resulted in at least one dead migrant and 15 injured. The Libyan authorities claimed at least 4,000 detentions, including women and children. So, since the fall of Gaddafi's regime in 2011, Libya has become a major transit point into Europe for migrants escaping war and famine in Africa and the Middle East. So, that's what's going on in Libya. That's why they're so popular and capturing all these transit migrants. So, this is a follow-up or an update. Last week on Friday, we said Kim Jong-un was up to reestablishing the hotline between the two countries. And it's happened. North and South Korea restore a hotline after a spike in tensions. The two Koreas on Monday restored their hotlines that the North severed months ago, with Pyongyang urging Seoul to step up efforts to improve relations after criticizing what it called double standards over weapons development. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un expressed his willingness last week to reactivate the hotlines, which North Korea cut off in early August in protest against joint South Korea-U.S. military exercises days after reopening them for the first time in a year. So. Man, I don't know what's up. I'm just... my energy is low. I'm like... I slept the hours, but I did not get the rest of the hours that I needed, for whatever reason. Alright, well, speaking about fuel, fuel tanks still dry at 20% of Southeast forecourts, say retailers. One in five, what's a forecourt, by the way? Let's find out. Let's do a Google search, a start page search. Alright, let's see. Forecourt, an open area in front of a large building or petrol station. The part of the court between the service line and the net. Okay, so this is the gas pumps, where you pull in to get your gas. Okay, that makes sense. One in five forecourts in London and the southeast of England are still without fuel, the body that represents independent fuel sellers has said. The Petrol Retailers Association said there had been a marked improvement across the rest of the UK thanks to steady deliveries, but conditions in the southeast are still challenging. The improvement in supplies has led to forecourt firm EG Group to remove its $30 cap on buying fuel at its sites. It said purchases were returning to normal levels in the majority of places apart from the south of England. However, the company, which has about 400 sites in the UK, added it expected supply issues to ease in the coming days due to military driving tankers to restore supplies. So, that's pretty cool. 200 servicemen and women from the Army and RAF have been drafted to deliver fuel. The PRA said the situation around London and the southeast was still challenging in these areas. It said 62% of sites surveyed had both grades of fuel available, 18% only had one, and 20% were dry. In the rest of the country, the trade body said 86% of sites had both grades of fuel, thanks to steady deliveries and stabilizing demand. So, I don't know what that means. We're grateful for the support lent by the government through their provision of military drivers, although further action must be taken to address the needs of disproportionately affected areas. So, yeah, what do you know? Military bringing in gas to be sold. Which is kind of strange, but hey, that's the UK for you. Yeah, W. Visser, I agree. It was a surprise that this was happening in not the United States. Oh. here's a story that I'm pretty sure I would expect in the United States, but you know what? I'm not surprised where it's happening. I guess that's maybe not. I am surprised by this story. Two journalists and an environmental activist were beaten by some 20 attackers in Romania's northeastern Suceava County, where while filming a documentary about illegal logging. It is the latest incident in a long history of violence in Romania's primeval forests, which have become an unlikely battleground between illegal loggers and those trying to protect one of the world's most ancient ecosystems. The Observer's team spoke to three victims of the attack, the journalist Mihai Dragolea and Radu Constantine Mocanu, as well as the activist Tiberiu Bosutar, who is helping them track down environmental crimes in the region for their documentary. The team traveled to a specific section of the forest after a villager reported unusual activities where the activists regularly share on Facebook, where they regularly share live feeds of illicit deforestation. That website has not been accessible to me all day, so they are down. About 20 people were armed with axes and bats began attacking us. Bosutar is one of many environmental activists whose posts of videos of illegal logging practices on social media in order to gather enough proof to report the infractions to the police. Then there's a bunch of embedded videos on this story. Basically, there is a wood mafia. The headline of the story is, "I was afraid we would die. Attack highlights violence of Romania's wood mafia." So keep an eye out and avoid the wood mafia. Yeah, I'm surprised there weren't chainsaws either. Chainsaw. Yeah, no mention of chainsaws at all. But it's still very scary stuff. They're using, like, bulldozers. They probably have a proper name, but they're using like bulldozers and clear cutting them with that big heavy equipment. So they're using the big commercial logging equipment. All right. Sorry, I am not my energy. I'm trying my best, but just low on fuel. What else is happening? Well, a lot of stuff is happening, but. I wish I wasn't like this. Maybe it's allergies. I don't know. I took my allergy medicine. Anyway, we're going to play a song because it's time to play a song.
Get the news over with. Yeah, I want to hear the music.
We're going to do this because it's already 18 after, and at 30 minutes past, it's time for the Dubious Goals Committee. So here's a Weezer song called "I Just Threw Out the Love of My Dreams."
Oh,
every day.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. If you want to join up, all you got to do is SSH over to Anon Radio, SSH over to SDF.org. You can use the username new, N-E-W, if you don't have an account yet, and that will let you sign up for an account. It's pretty darn cool and pretty nice. Hello, Anchor Spark, or I'm not sure how to say that. A-N-C-R-S-P-R-K, welcome, welcome. I am enjoying the meltdown of Facebook. That is pretty darn great. I'm excited that everything's offline, and I hope that once they finish melting down, Twitter goes ahead and puts up its paywall, and then all of these things will lead people to go ahead and use Mastodon like they should have been doing already. Okay, well, that was our song, and that was our little Anon Radio ad. So, let's go ahead and jump on and talk about a few more world news stories, because, I mean, that's what we like to talk about, right? So, here's some world news.
World news. World news.
UAE, Saudi Arabia are on alert after a Cyclone Shaheen hits Oman. Cyclone Shaheen slammed into Oman on Sunday with ferocious winds and heavy rain, flooding streets, prompting evacuations from coastal areas, and suspending some flights to and from the capital of Muscat. Authorities in the UAE have said precautionary measures are being taken, and Saudi Arabia has called for caution in several regions after 12 people were killed as Tropical Cyclone Shaheen made landfall in neighboring Oman. Police in the United Arab Emirates on Monday were patrolling near beaches and valleys where torrential rains were expected to ensure the residents' safety. Government and private sector employees in Al Ain on the border with Oman were urged to work remotely on Monday, and authorities called on residents to avoid leaving home except for emergencies, the Abu Dhabi government media office said. Authorities are working proactively around the clock to evacuate residential units in expected affected areas and transport families to safe locations until it's safe to return, it said. So, this is going to be interesting to see how that goes. Oh, hello, welcome, Muff. Is that maximum usable frequency? Video footage from Omani broadcasters showed vehicles submerged as people tried to make their way through muddy brown water. Up to 500 centimeters of rain, or 20 inches, was expected in some areas, raising the risk of flash floods. And Iran straight... state television said rescuers found the body of one of five fishermen who went missing off of Pasabandar, a fishing village near the Islamic Republic's border with Pakistan. Earlier on Sunday, Iranian Deputy Parliamentary Speaker Ali Nikzad said he feared as many as six fishermen had been killed because of the cyclone. So, pretty good, pretty good. So hopefully people are able to make it through. It seems that there hasn't been any major loss of life, and a lot of the evacuations seem to have worked. So that's good. We're not going to talk about that. Libya is starting up a new oil refinery, which isn't the worst thing that could happen. Libya on Sunday said work has begun on the construction of an oil refinery in the south of the conflict-ridden desert country. The project will cost between $500 and $600 million and become operational within 3 years, according to the head of Libya's state oil company, Mustafa Sanalla. He said an annual income of $75 million was expected. Libyan leader Abdelhamid Dabala, speaking at a ceremony in the capital of Tripoli, said this project is important, the effective start of construction of a refinery in the south. The refinery will be built near, tongue twister there, Al-Charara, a major oil field in the Ubari region, which produces an average of some 300,000 barrels of oil a day. Announced in the early 80s, the project for a refinery in southern Libya had been put on hold for years before being revived in 2017. So, that's pretty cool. We'll see what happens. So anyway, that'll be exciting. Hey, GTC 1977. Welcome. Sorry you got a headache. Well, what else is going on? There's just so much news, and like I said, I'm feeling kind of blah about it all. Blah, I tell you. I know what we'll do. Here we go. Indian farmers are going to step up protests after 9 killed in violence. Yeah, exactly. It's about time we had some more oil. So, pretty silly, but it's good for the country anyway. A lot of these oil-rich countries that have been exploited, they gotta step up their game and get money while we, while they can. Because once we move away from oil, once we go into batteries and recharge, you know, move away from the fossil fuels, they're gonna be hard-pressed. Unless maybe we get like a global power grid, and then they can pump out some solar or something. I don't know. Anyway, farmers in India have vowed to intensify their months-long protest against laws aimed at liberalizing agriculture as tensions flare a day after 9 people were killed in northern Uttar Pradesh state's Lakhimpur Kheri district. The Uttar Pradesh government on Monday announced 4.5 million rupees, or $60,000, in U.S. compensation to the families of the victims on Sunday's violence. The state government also said a retired high court judge will investigate the incident. The farmers, meanwhile, have decided to step up their protests against the contentious farm laws. We'll intensify our agitation in Uttar Pradesh and other parts of the country to highlight the plight of innocent farmers. Dharmendra Malik, a senior leader of the Bharatiya Kisan Union, told Reuters news agency, "The government might try to discredit the 10-month-long movement, but we will remain peaceful in our struggle." So, this is pretty serious business. Police said they recovered the body of a local journalist from the spot where violence ensued Sunday, but didn't provide further details on how he was killed. On Monday, police registered a criminal complaint against 14 people, including the minister's son, in connection with the death of 4 farmers. BJP also lodged a criminal complaint against the protesting farmers over the deaths of its members and the car driver, said Arvind Charasia, a senior official in charge of the district. So, yeah, these poor farmers have been protesting for a long time. Like we said, 10 months almost here. And, yeah, things are spicing up again over there. So, we can only hope. But, yeah, if we could get our stuff together, maybe we could help people in outside of our country. That'd be nice. And we'll end with one, with a quick story here. Or I guess 2 stories. First, Cuban baseball players defected in Mexico. So, Cuban officials, at least 9 young Cuban baseball players have defected during a tournament in Mexico, officials say, and the largest defection of Cuban athletes in years. Cuban officials called the players' actions during the World Cup for athletes under the age of 23 vile abandonments. The rest of the team, which originally was 24 players, will return on Monday. The common thing was that they would defect to the U.S. and join the Major League Baseball teams, but in 2018, Trump destroyed a deal or canceled a deal that Cuba and the U.S. had that allowed baseball players to immigrate over to the U.S. And Nobel Prize winner for the sense of touch and heat. Scientists who discovered how our bodies feel the warmth of the sun or the hug of a loved one have won the Nobel Prize. Cool, right? Anyway, we gotta get going. It's time for the Dubious Goals Committee, and it's time for me to find my energy wherever I left it. Jeepers creepers.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Bye.